Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Bibles today to Hebrews chapter 4. As you're getting there, we're going to read 14 and 16 real quickly. We started a series called Access. Somebody say Access. We started this 3 weeks ago, and this is the third installment of Access. We're learning how to approach God and receive power. We've really been talking about the Lord's Prayer and going through how what this is for us is a posture of prayer, not necessarily something we have to repeat. It is though what our heart, where our heart should be found whenever we go to a time of prayer. This is the heart posture of prayer. And once again, it's not necessarily the words we have to say, but our heart is in alignment with what Jesus and how Jesus has taught us to pray. Now, before I get too far into that, I want to give some real quick good news. I forgot about this real quickly, and let me give this to our church family real fast. As many of you may know, we are in dire need of a new facility. Our lease is up here in October, at the end of October. We're at the end of our lease. And last week, I told our vision team, and we've been talking with our leaders about this, hey, we need to pray earnestly that the Lord's opened up doors. And I told them last week, I said, we're going to go knock on some doors, basically. We're going to start stepping towards new facility and stuff like that, even a greater way with a little more. We feel like the Lord's given us a piece to start finally moving forward in this. And so we're going to start moving towards that. Well, this week, we did just that. And praise God, we are in we are moving towards a possible facility. We're in some feasibility studies right now, which basically means we're checking to make sure the facility will work for us and et cetera, and everything's all good with the facility. It will be about double the space that we have here and about four times the acreage that we have here. Bless God, amen. It'll be about double the space, square footage-wise, and about, like I said, about four times the amount of acres that we will acquire, and it is in a highly populated part of town. As time progresses, as we get closer, as long as things keep going smoothly, we will give more information about the particulars and all the details, but let's just continue to pray over this and ask the Lord. Y'all heard me last week. Our prayer is not, we want this. What's our prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what our prayer is, even with this. So we may have a plan, we may have it all drawn out the way that we think it should go, but ultimately we're still going, we're going to take steps. Yes, Lord, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So Lord, we're going to take steps this way, but if we're taking a step out of order, Lord, just close the door and push us in a different direction. And we are okay with that. We have accepted that, but I want everyone in this church to be praying as we continue to move forward in this. It is a great blessing. It's a great opportunity for us. And with this, at least for a short season, I think we can probably maybe go back to one service. We'll see. If not, we'll stay what we're doing and we'll continue to see God grow his kingdom through High Praise. Amen. So continue to be praying for that. It's an awesome opportunity and the Lord is blessing us. And in the weeks to come, I'm sure probably by next week, I'll even have another update. So continue to pray earnestly about this, that the Lord will give us wisdom, that the Lord will give us favor, that the Lord will open the doors that need to open and shut the doors that need to shut. Can we agree with that today, church? Amen. Amen. All right. Now let's read the word. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 and 16 says this, seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. We talked about that weeks ago with walking with Jesus, and was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then it goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly. How we come before the throne of grace? Boldly. We're coming boldly. Once again, we talk a little less. Boldly does not always mean upright. Boldly can sometimes just mean I'm persevering no matter what I'm facing. That is a bold. Boldness. You know, it takes boldness to persevere some things, right? It's much easier to cower down and give up. It's much more bold of somebody to push in and perseverance. So sometimes it may look like you're like this and you're pushing through the crowd. Listen, I'll give it to us. It was a bold move for the woman with the issue of blood to touch the hem of his garment, right? Yeah. We can agree with that. And we see that she was healed. Sometimes boldness for you might look like I'm hurting and there's people thronging Jesus, but I'm bold enough to not care what anyone thinks. Not, I'm bold enough to not care about what anyone's thoughts are about me, but I still will push through and go to the throne of grace. It goes this, that we may obtain mercy and find grace or divine empowerment to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that our hearts are ready to receive of the word this morning. Let my tongue be like a ready and skillful writer, ready to speak what you want spoken today. Lord, let our ears be open and our hearts be open to the understanding and the conviction and the change of your word. Lord, let us receive with meekness, with humility of heart, the engrafted word that can save our souls. So God, we thank you for this moment in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Now, before we jump into this, let's just look at this for a second where we've been. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and you can go and turn there if you want to, because now we're going to flip over there real quickly. And we have to remember that this posture of prayer, Jesus gave us an order, right? The order is our Father, that's relationship. We talked about that. Then it is, hallowed be your name. That's reverence, noticing that the Lord's name is holy. And then after that, it's your kingdom come, your will be done. This is where we find surrender. And now we get to the next part. Let's go ahead and skip on down right there. Yeah, stay at 10. So actually, go back up to, I think, 8. Go back up to verse 8 for me, if you will, media team. Therefore, do not be like them. Go to 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Jesus is speaking. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we stopped last week. Now, if you continue on into verse 11, I believe it is. Keep going. Go to 11. Give us this day our daily bread is the next part of the prayer. And this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about understanding what this means. Anybody ever prayed that before but have no clue what you're talking about? Yeah. So there's 7 people approximately who are actually honest in this room. All of you are like, oh, I know the word. Okay, come teach it. Okay. Anyone ever open their fridge before and say, there's nothing to eat? Okay. Meanwhile, it's full. Anybody got kids that have done that? They go to the fridge and like, there's nothing to eat in this house. And you're like, I just got groceries yesterday. Are you kidding me? My kids will do that. Sometimes I'll buy groceries and they'll go in there and they'll open the fridge, open the pantry. We don't have anything to eat. I'm like, bro, did you not see me go get the groceries yesterday and you even helped me unload them and put them up? What do you mean there's nothing to eat? Well, it's nothing that I want. Give us this day our daily bread. It's not about what you want. It's about what you need. And we pray, give us this day our daily bread from a need, from a want place, not from a need place, not from a provision place. When we say we don't have enough, what we really mean, it's not what we wanted. And listen, in the natural, I'll be honest, I'm like that sometimes, okay? I'll go to my fridge and I'll open up and be like, that doesn't sound good. I look in the freezer, nope, that don't look good either. That doesn't sound good. I really want Taco Bell. Bless up, huh? Bless up, fam. Yeah. Anybody on got Amazon Prime in the room? Yeah. Uh-huh. And you're mad when it comes in 3 days rather than 2 days, aren't you? You've already written a whole letter to corporate. ChatGPT, help me. I need to write a letter to corporate, let them know they're not being good on their word. I want a refund. Anybody got Walmart Plus? Yeah. You expect that 2-day delivery from Walmart Plus too. And we got Target. See, we're in Crestview. So when I was about to say, Target Red Circle members or Red Card members, you get free, you get extra shipping on that too, quick shipping, stuff like that. That 5%, extra 5% off if you got a red card, all that. Yeah. We have trained ourselves to be people of want and quick access. And whatever I want is a click away. Matter of fact, last night I made an order because I wear these silicone wedding bands because my fingers are too fat to fit my original one now, and we won't talk about that. My knuckles grew. We'll just say that. I've never broken my knuckles, though, so I don't know how that would be the case. I just eat too much. But I wear these, and I have a bad tendency of any other guys wear these, and you have a bad tendency of messing with them, and then eventually you just snaps, and you're like, oh, darn, you know? So I had to order some more last night, and so I ordered those, and then, because I'm on my last one, and then what I noticed next was, with one click, anything else I look at on Amazon almost, I can add to that delivery, right? Anything I want. If I wanted a 75-inch TV to be delivered, In as simple as one click, I can drop $500 like that on a want. And we have trained ourselves to be people who get our wants on a click of a button. I have good news and bad news for you. God does not work for Amazon Prime, for Walmart Plus, for Target, or any of those places, because he's not necessarily, hear me today, the God of instant supply. He's a God that builds daily trust. And daily we are called to ask, and our heart's prayer should be, give us this day our daily bread. This is a reliance on the Lord. This is trusting in God. Give us this day our daily bread is a sentence of trust. It's an exclamation of trust. It's a statement that we should be making in our hearts of, Lord, I trust you. And hear me today. If you skip this posture, you will misuse the prayer. I'm going to say it again. If you skip this posture and you don't recognize this within our hearts, you will miss the power of prayer because you're misusing it, and you'll start praying things that don't even align with his will, purpose, and plan for your life. And then you're wondering, going, well, God, where are you? And the problem is not God didn't leave you. The problem is that you are looking at him incorrectly. The problem is God, it's not that God is not your source. It's that you are expecting him to be your sugar daddy. He is a source, not a sugar daddy. He is the provider, not the one that just gives and gives and gives and doesn't expect anything. Hear me, that does not mean that God does not want to bless you, and we'll get into it in just a little bit. God absolutely wants his children to be blessed. I believe that wholeheartedly about God. I'm ahead of myself. I'm going to go here anyways. But we see this with the children of Israel. Children of Israel. You know what? Just think about the story for a second and we'll come back to it. Because I'll tell you exactly what I mean by that in just a second. So write this down. We should not be coming to God as entitled people making demands. We come as surrendered children who trust him as our source. Anybody got kids in this room? Had kids in this room? Anybody? Yeah. Anybody ever had their kid come to them and make a demand? How many of you parents in the room are like, absolutely, sugar? No! Like, who do you think you are? Where do you get off? Like, where? I'm the one who gets a paycheck. My job is to provide for you. So you can absolutely bring me a want. But you start coming in here and say, Dad, give me V-Bucks right now. No. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, give me $5. Talk to me that way again. See, huh? No. You don't walk up to me. My kids have done that before. Dad, I want this right now. Okay. And go find money. But it's much quicker whenever my kids will come to me, hear me, and he'll be thankful for the provision, thankful for the little things, thankful. Thankfulness means going and doing things even without complaining about it. That is actually a source of gratitude. That shows forth an attitude of gratitude, is whenever you'll just go do the things that need to be done. Whenever you'll just be okay with where you're at right now and not always this need for more. So hear me say, we come to the Lord as surrendered children who trust him as our source. Say, Lord, I know that you have my best interest at heart. Yes, because this way we get the scripture twisted too. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant you or give you. Listen, the Lord is not a genie in a bottle. That's not what that scripture means. You don't get three wishes. Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart means I delight myself in him, and now what he desires for me becomes my desires, and the Lord gives me my desires because now my desires look like his desires. Not my wants. So surrender puts God, I got a lot to preach today and I am way behind already. Surrender puts God in control. Dependence keeps him your source. So surrendering to the Lord puts him in control of your life. We talked about that last week and the weeks prior. But when we depend on him, it keeps him as our source. So the first thing I want you to write down, or I already told you to write some other things down, but one of the main points I want to make today is that daily means I don't live self-sufficient. Daily means I don't live daily bread. Jesus did not teach us, give me everything I'll ever need. He said, give us this, notice the emphasis, this day. I think you're missing it. He didn't say, Lord, give us tomorrow the bread for tomorrow. The prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. God doesn't teach us to trust him for the someday. He teaches us to trust him for the now, for the moment we're living in. And we don't like that. We don't like what feels unstable. Because we want to, or unstable, excuse me, we want to be in control. We want that margin and that cushion all the time, right? And so sometimes it's difficult to bring us to this place like, Lord, things are looking a little bit skinny right now, and it's not my waistline, it's my budget. So Lord, I think I might need to just do this and do that, maybe cut back on being so generous. Maybe cut back on giving. Maybe cut back on being a generous person so that I can have some margin and some cushion room. Guess what? That's not what the Lord calls from you. He calls you to trust him. Matter of fact, when you keep on in that scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verses 25 and 34, I'm going to read these to you real quickly. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink. This is in the same passage, by the way. He continues on later on. Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Well, in the current culture of today, many people would disagree with Jesus here because there's so much clout chasing, look at me living that is all around, and it is seeped into the church to a place that it is literally poisoning the people of the church to where we can no longer even live in this scripture because we don't trust God anymore because we've got to look a certain way. And we'll go in, I'm going to preach the whole message. We go into thousands and thousands of dollars of debt just to look up, just to look like the person sitting next to us. Jesus says, don't worry about all that. Look at the birds of the air. That's what his response to people worried about their clothing says, hey, look up at the birds. Could you imagine right now if I took you outside, like, you know what? Yeah, I hear that you don't like your clothes. Look at the birds. They're naked. I am not encouraging you to be naked, okay? Please wear clothes. You will get arrested. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father still feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the fire or the oven, how or will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all the things. Your heavenly Father knows what he knows that you need. He knows your needs. He knows you need all these things. And this is where we get this scripture that we misquote also out of context often. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things Jesus is talking about, all these moments that you're worried about, these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is literally telling you, stop having anxiety. Mistrust in the Lord will create a culture of anxiety in your heart. If you don't trust in the Lord properly, anxious thoughts will run wild. There's scripture that even aligns with this. Whenever we put our mind and put our mind on the things of the Lord, scripture talks about how he keeps us in his perfect peace, those minds that are steadfast, set upon him. This is the culture. This is the way that we're called to live. So hear me. If God takes care of what doesn't pray, how much more will he take care of you? If God takes care of what doesn't sow, what doesn't reap, what doesn't gather into barns, what doesn't store up, what doesn't create margin, how much more will he take care of you? The Lord is our provider, and he will do that. So the second thing I want to bring to you real quickly is that daily dependence is a pride assassin. When you depend on the Lord every day, it assassinates your pride, and you need to kill your pride. I believe it's Augustine that said it this way. He says that pride is the sin beneath the sin. Meaning this, every sin in your life comes from a place of pride. Every sin that you engage in comes from a place that you think you know better. Think about the first fall, the fall of man. It's the first sin. What was it because? They got to a point where they thought they knew better. And they listened to the voice of pride and engaged and acted on the voice of pride, which entered sin into the world. Daily dependence on the Lord will assassinate your pride. Daily bread forces you to admit something that most of us don't like to say. I am not my source. Think about it. That does not feel good, right? It doesn't feel good to admit that I can't make everything happen all the time. We'd rather say this: I worked for this. I built this. I earned this. Scripture teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread humbles you. And this is why, because it reminds you who actually provides. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy 8 reminds us this, that it is he that gives you the power to get wealth, is what Scripture says. Meaning this, if you're saying statements like, I worked for this, if this is your thought process and philosophy in life, listen, I'm not taking that away from you. Scripture talks about that, you know, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. There's Scripture talks about that he blesses the work of the hand. I believe you need to. We're going to talk about that in just a second. We'll get there, I promise, okay? So don't get the cart ahead of the horse and miss what I'm saying here. What I'm saying, though, is even that there should be a dependence on the Lord that is giving you the strength, the wisdom, the peace, the communication skills, the skill that you have in your, it is still all coming from the Lord. And we go, I worked for this. Sure, but the Lord gave you the character, the creativity, or whatever that is, to engage in that to where he can bless the work of your hands. You just are now doing the work of what he gave you into your hands, and now he blesses that work that's in your hands. Hear me today. Now let's bring it back to the children of Israel. In Exodus 16, the children of Israel are in the wilderness. God delivers them out of Egypt, right? We know the story. Promises to take them to the land that is flowing with milk and honey. You got to think. So what the Lord provides here is the land of abundance. Notice, he's not saying, I am giving you abundance. He says, I will take you to the land of abundance. Once again, highlighting the work of your hand. Okay? They get in the wilderness, they're going, right? And God, and they begin to get hungry because they're on their way. And how does God respond? By sending manna from heaven. Here's the instruction. Only take what you need for the day, daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Only take what you need for the day. The instruction goes on to say, whatever you try to store up, it's going to rot. It's going to spoil. Ain't going to be no good. Don't try to secure tomorrow. Don't try to stockpile it. And God is trying to teach them something here. I'm going to give this to you real quickly. I saw this as I was saying this. God is trying to uproot Egypt out of them in this. Because they had grown, even though they resented where they were, at least there was provision where they were. They were still being fed, huh? There was still some form of housing, provision, place for them. And now they're in the middle of no man's land. And this is how we know that God is uprooting Egypt and that's still in them, is because they make this statement. Moses, where are you taking us? Did you just lead us all this way for us to die in the wilderness? This is a statement or an exclamation of it was, and they say, we would have been better off back there than where we are now. God feeds them manna from heaven. And what do they, and he gives them direct instruction. What do? They go and they start stockpiling it. Some of them begin to go and take and put it in places. And it says they wake up the next morning. And guess what? It's all rot. It's all no good. Because God is trying to teach them a daily dependence so that they can reach the place of abundance. Can I tell you once again, I believe that God wants to bless you. But the road to blessing looks like provision. Doesn't look like immediate abundance. We don't serve an Amazon Prime God. The walk and the road to getting to the place that God has for you of blessing can sometimes look like mundane manna, believing for it every day. Lord, I'm believing, I'm taking what I need for today. Tomorrow, do it again. Lord, I'm taking what I need for the day. Lord, I'm believing and trusting you to do it again. And listen, God's leading them to that place, but it's not enough for them. That's what they are highlighting here. That's what they're identifying, that it's not enough. Lord, what you're pouring out is not enough, so I got to make sure I have some for tomorrow as well. And they miss the abundance because they try to become their own God of abundance. Think about that for a second. By going and taking and stockpiling and storing, who is now seated in the throne of abundance? It's not God anymore. I've got to make my own abundance. I've got to make sure I've, and scripture tells us that it rots, spoils, and what we're called to do is trust him with what we have. Use it for what he's called us to use it for. And I'll show you, and we're going to talk practically through that in just a second, because I know some of you are like, you're giving a lot of abstract thoughts here, Pastor Micah. Now, how do I do this? I'll help you, I promise. I didn't lead you this way to die, okay? But it showed up daily. They tried to store it, it rotted. If they trusted, it was there again. So, write this down. What he gave yesterday will not replace trusting him today. Whatever it is, whatever that source of provision is, because I'm not talking about just finances today, okay? I want you to hear me. Daily bread and provision can look like a lot of things. Provision sources can be like those that come around you and encourage you. That's a provision for us that the Lord will bring into our lives. Provision sources can look different. It's not just all financial. Some provision is just that friend who listens and helps you, a good friend. And if we're not careful, even with friends, I've seen this, we'll become possessive over relationships. And we try to stockpile the relationship so nobody else can get in, and actually poisons the relationship that is there between you and that person who's your encouragement or whatever. So hear me say, what God gives you yesterday does not replace trusting him today. Daily dependence is what builds real trust. So last week was your will be done. So surrender control. Today is give us this daily bread. That means I trust you to provide. Hear me today. You cannot surrender your life to God and then not trust him with your needs. You cannot surrender your life to God and then not trust him with your needs. Write this down. Surrender without trust will always feel like loss. Surrender without trust will always feel like a loss. Meaning this. If I surrender, some of y'all are looking at that statement going, what's that mean? So if I surrender, give it to you, I guess. If I surrender my debit card to my wife, who's in kids' church, is it connecting now? We got joint bank accounts, so she has her own. She already got that. But I'm just saying for anyone in this room, I'll give you a context here. If I surrender that over to her, but I don't trust her with what's in that account, I'm always going to be anxious and it's going to feel like loss all the time because I'm going to be concerned always. If you surrender without trusting the Lord, it will feel like a loss because you'll always be concerned you won't have enough. Trust is proven over time, not when everything is easy, but whenever you don't see it yet. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 gives us this incredible text. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. How many ways? All your ways. Acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. You want to know how many all means? We say it all the time. All means all. All your ways. That means your money. Trust him in your money. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, in your money, and acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, in your provision, and acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, with material things, with needs, with desires, with relationships. In all those ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So trusting in the Lord doesn't mean you understand everything, but it's believing that God has got you in the midst of everything. He's holding you in the midst of every situation. The gospel, when it comes to finances, is not prosperity, it is provision. Gospel means good news. So the gospel, when it comes to our finances, is not prosperity, because a prosperity gospel will set you up for heartache. Whenever, why don't I have what they have? I've never seen the righteous forsaking or a seed begging for bread. He is the Lord that provides all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Jireh. He's more than enough, yes, but that means he is our provider. And that is the gospel, or the good news. God doesn't promise excess or the dream life on demand. He says, pray for daily bread. In Genesis 22, this is a good story. Listen to this. We know the story of Abraham and Isaac, right? Abraham takes Isaac to go murder him, right? He goes to sacrifice him, which Isaac is the promise, lays him on the altar. And hear me, this isn't just a sacrifice moment. This is surrender. This is surrender. This is more surrender than your 10%, friend. And if you don't think so, you know what? I don't encourage that, because someone in this room might jump into it. No. Man, if the Lord told me, take your firstborn son up to the mountain, put him on an altar, I'd be like, Lord, you sure about that? I'm going to prison. Lord, that's wild. Like, what's going on, right? I worked for this. Huh? I made this. Huh? And the Lord's like, yeah. What's interesting is there is words here that Abraham says that I think is incredible in this text. Genesis 22 and 5, it says, and Abraham said to his young men, stay here. The lad and I will go yonder, sounding like a real country man, yonder, and worship, hear me, this is what's interesting. And we will come back to you. Abraham is already speaking in faith of God as a provision source. Before he sees the provision. But he knows what he's supposed to do. But the language that he speaks is already, God is my provider. He doesn't say, we're going to go yonder and worship, and I don't want to be a liar, so I'm going to come back to you. He says, we will come back to you, is what Scripture says there. He didn't say, I'm going to go sacrifice my son now, deuces. He says, we'll come back. I don't believe this is just a logical statement. I believe this is a trust-filled statement. This is daily dependence. This is trust of provision. Abraham didn't know how God was going to do it, but he knew God was going to do it. He trusted God enough to obey even when he didn't understand. And what happens? God provides a ram in the thicket, right? And Abraham names the place, the Lord will provide. God did. Write this down. I didn't put this on the screen for you today, but write this down. God didn't provide before obedience. He provided in the moment of obedience. And oftentimes we find ourselves wanting God to provide all our needs before we obey rather than in the midst of obeying. Yeah. Well, Lord, just go ahead and give me the big check now and then I'll be a generous person. Lord, let me go and hit the lotto now and then I'll give some money. I'll buy somebody's groceries at the grocery store. Lord, go ahead and give me, Lord, go ahead and give me the wife now, and then I'll stop being a player. Lord, go ahead and give me the husband now, and then I'll stop flirting with every single guy that walks by me and looks my direction. Huh? Just go and give me the provision now, God. And God's like, just stop. Obey. Do what I've called you to do. And then in the midst of obedience is when God shows up as the God of provision. Jireh is not God giving you everything ahead of time. It's God showing up right when you need it. That's daily bread. Because hear me, provision is not proof that you ever had control. It's proof that God showed up. It's not proof that, yeah, I got it all. No, it's just proof that God showed up. And here, this is the beautiful thing I think about this moment is that this makes the gospel real to people. When you have a testimony of provision, it makes the gospel really real to people. When you got a testimony of how the Lord showed up just right on time, and this brings up a lot of things for people to see, wow, God is real. Notice this. I said this earlier, but he promises to be Jehovah Jireh, not Jehovah Sugar Daddy. Right? God doesn't promise everything you want. He promises what you need. And in a world where we live by the song, bigger, better, faster, stronger, however it goes, we live by this idea that we want more. We want bigger, better, faster, stronger. And we have turned this thought into an insult, or like it is lack to not have that. To not have the bigger thing or the better thing or the faster, or whatever that looks like for you. But hear me, give it to you like this real quick. Enough is not lack, enough is trust. Think about that. When you have enough to pay the bills, that's not lack. When you have enough food in the fridge for your family to eat, that's not lack. When you have just enough to do this and to do that, that's not lack. It's trusting in the Lord. It means I trusted and he showed up. And there's this, I want to give you this, I talked to a psychologist and he gave me this incredible viewpoint on gratitude. I may have shared this back in November. I want to give this to you today for someone that may be struggling in this area of like viewing enough as lack. You have to change your mind, rewire it into this place of gratitude. And gratitude is very interesting because we say gratitude and we say, I said thanks. But what if you personalize some gratitude about yourself? Sometimes you need to, okay? Meaning this. Now, obviously, it ties back to the Lord. He gives us the power to get wealth. But sometimes we be like, I'm thankful that I could pay the bill this month. Well, why could I pay the bill? Well, I'm thankful that the Lord has given me creativity or hands to do the work that needs to be done. Sure, he gave you those hands, but how'd you get your job? Well, I'm thankful the Lord gave me the wisdom on how to do this job. Or where'd that job come from? How was the business created? There's a trail of gratitude that we can go down that actually helps rewire our minds and our brains to understand that this is not lack. It is the Lord providing our needs through the sources of this world, yes, but God is still the ultimate source of all of that. So it is just a trail of us following, going, Lord, I see the workmanship of your hands even in what I'm doing right now. So hear me today. I want to balance it once again that enough is not lack, enough is trust, but I want to balance it with that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bless you. As a matter of fact, 3 John 1 and 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers, is what scripture says. Hear me today, I believe the Lord wants to prosper you. And listen, the same word prosper here is used in Romans and Corinthians when talking about wealth increase in business affairs, which led to money or prosperity. So I give that to you today that I believe it is the Lord's will that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is, well, he's provided all my needs according to his riches and glory. And now from that, as I follow him and he continues to provide, the Lord of the abundance, yes, of every good and perfect thing, will begin to bring these things into my life because this is the balance. I'm going to get in where you live for the next 10 minutes. Trust shows up in how you live and how you give. Woo! Y'all get ready to shout because I know you are. in pain. Trust is not just what you say, it's what you do, right? If God is your source, then your life will reflect that. That means you obey when he speaks. You give when he prompts. You release when he asks. You don't give because you have extra. You give because you trust him as your source. I'm going to give you something real quickly, give you a story, personal story. Make the gospel real to you again. Give you this real quick. I believe it was in 2013. Pastor Chelsea and I just got married. Michael Wood, who's a minister, Pastor Michael Wood, he was in the Panama City area, and he came and preached at our church. And I'm going to be honest with you. Pastor Chelsea and I did not have extra money whenever we first got married, as many of you probably have felt, or maybe you're in that season right now. We didn't have a bunch of extra money just sitting around. But you know what? We had a house that we needed to furnish. We had closed on our first home. We needed to furnish it. I was telling Levi the other day, my oldest said, Mom and Dad, when we came home on our honeymoon night, we had a futon bed as a couch. That was what we had. And we had our TV, and we had we didn't have a bedroom suite or anything like that. We just inherited some furniture from family, blah, blah, blah. Point being that we didn't have money to furnish the home right then. And so, you know, Pastor Michael Wood comes and ministers, and Chelsea and I, we've been praying, Lord, we need some help, you know, provision. And we kept trusting the Lord what we had. So you know what trusting the Lord what you have sometimes looks like? Eating peanut butter and jellies instead of going to Chili's. Sometimes trusting in the Lord looks like eating ramen noodles for every meal instead of going to McDonald's. This is a part of trust sometimes. It's the provision of trusting, Lord, this is what I have right now. This is what you're giving me, so I'm going to trust you with this. And it reveals our priorities and the heart of generosity that we have. I'm going somewhere with the story. Stay with me. So Michael Woods there, he's preaching, and there's time for a guest minister offering. Well, Pastor Charles, like I said, we didn't have much money at the time, but we wanted to sow something because we felt the Lord say, you need to give in this offering. So we say, yes, yes, Lord. Now, mind you, what I didn't tell you is about a little bit earlier in that week, anybody ever been to, the home store? I think it's Michael's. Is Michael's a home store? I can't remember. Anyways, it's a furniture store. I don't know. I don't remember the name of it now. We'll move on. But Pastor Chelsea saw this chair, an accent chair, and she had to have the accent chair. Any other man of God got a wife, when they see it, just remember, that's why she's married to you, men. She saw you. She wanted you. All right? All right? Next time you get mad about her wanting that one thing, remember, that's what she thought about you. And she should still think that about you. Amen. Bless God. Hear me. She saw this chair. I got to have that chair. We gave in that offering, knowing that she wanted that chair really bad. We said, we're going to give him the offering. Michael Wood comes up to us at the end of that service and says, the Lord put it on my heart to strike you this check, and I just want to bless you guys. We open that check. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. Open that check. It was to the dollar amount of how much we needed to buy the chair that Pastor Chelsea wanted. What am I saying in this? It's about, let's come back to this. It's about daily bread obedience. And whenever you walk in daily bread obedience, the God of provision provides your needs according to his. Now hear me, I understand that was a want. And sometimes the Lord will bring those little wants into your life to give you the little God wink, if you will, and say, listen, you just keep trusting, you keep obeying. You're on the right road. Keep doing the right thing. Keep giving, keep sowing, keep being generous. And we do that, I'll continue to bless the work of your hand. Hear me, when you really trust God as your source, you don't give just obediently, you give generously. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 says this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So, I'll move on to the text a little bit. So, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, for God loves a cheerful giver. We talk about that a lot when we talk about tithes and offerings. So, hear me today. When you trust God with your resources, you invite him into your provision. Trust is said in word, but proven in actions. Now, that's really getting where you live. You can't pray for provision and live like chaos, though. You don't just pray, give us this day our daily bread. You live in a way that honors the daily bread. You can't just say, I trust God to provide, but be negligent with what he's already provided. Some of us are asking God for provision while mismanaging the provision we already have. And they're going, well, why am I not getting more? Well, we got real quiet in this Catholic church today. We're asking God for provision. Meanwhile, we're just mismanaging the provision that God's already put into our hands, going, why, God, why aren't you giving me more? Well, because you're not using what I've given you properly. Hear me, you can't spend what God gave you for needs on your wants and then expect him to bless it. Okay. And on the other side, you can't hold on to everything, be stingy and close-handed, and expect God to bless that. Because the kingdom is not built on waste or withholding. It's built on stewardship and trust. There's this balance, right? This delicate balance that God is your source, but you are still responsible for the managing of the provision. He who is faithful in little will be made ruler over what? Over much. God provides, but he also watches how you handle what he provides. And some of us are praying for a financial breakthrough, and God's like, let's start with a budget. Some of us are praying for provision, and our spending habits are rebuking our prayers. Well, I'm going to say it again because I think you don't hear it. Some of us are praying for provision and blessing. Meanwhile, every time we open up our phone, we can't help but order something else from the TikTok shop or from Amazon or Walmart or Target. As soon as our phone opens, we got to have what we see. But do you actually have margin for that? Are you being responsible with what the Lord has placed within your hands? I'm not saying, please hear me today. Because there's the other side, right? We have the prosperity gospel, and then we have the poverty gospel that people preach. You just live simply. Never have anything. Just never have anything for you and your family. I mean, you need to live in a shack. And when I say shack, I mean a cardboard house down by the river. And you just need to make it through. I don't believe that's the gospel. I also struggle that it is for you to live up in all of your wealth and never give to anyone around you. The gospel is provision. And one of the reasons he provides for you and brings you into lands of abundance is so that, once again, you can show forth the gospel in the way of provision for others around you. Hear me today, though. You can't pray for provision and ignore principles. Trust is not proven by what you say in prayer. It's proven by how you live after you say those things. So I'm going to give you this as we come to a close. You can't pray away bad decisions. You can't pray away financial irresponsibility. You got to own that and change it and bring it into alignment with the word. And I'm going to go and say this. I'm going to step out here, and you may not like me. That's fine. Giving is part of trust. You cannot say you trust someone without giving them something. My wife, I trust her more than anyone else ever. And she knows the deepest parts of me that some people may not ever know, because there is a deep trust, so she has that level of access to me, and I give that to her freely. Why? Because I trust her. The Lord provides for you, absolutely, but his children are all around you. The kingdom is still advancing. And the kingdom, guess what? Even in Jesus' day, it takes money to advance the kingdom. So hear me. Giving into the kingdom and what the Lord is doing and into people around you is a part of showing that, Lord, I trust in you no matter what. I trust that you are good on your word, and so I'll continue to make sure that I'm following you in this way. So week one, we talked about our Father relationship. Holy is your name, reverence. Week two, your kingdom come, surrender. And today we've talked about trust. Kind of recapping for you, because next week we're going to go to the next part of his prayers. As a matter of fact, Pastor Chelsea is going to be preaching next week. It's going to be powerful. And we're going to be talking about forgiving and forgiveness, how we got to have a heart of forgiveness when we go to God in prayer. If you can't forgive your brother, how do you expect the Lord to forgive you? I won't preach your message, but you know what it says. So write this down as we close. Before you ask for anything, you surrender everything. And after you surrender everything, you trust him for anything. Jesus didn't just teach us ask for bread. He taught us to depend on the Father for daily bread. And daily bread is not just about what's in your hand. It's about who you trust in your heart. It's about who you're actually trusting the Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus also says this in Matthew chapter 4. He says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hear me. If he's your source, don't panic when things shift. You don't live on bread alone. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, what has proceeded out of his mouth? He shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. Yeah, I know the national debt right now. Yeah, I know all the things that are happening in our world and in our country, but my God shall provide all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I will not be shaken. Sure, I've got to be wise. I've got to make smart decisions. I've got to steward over what God has placed within my hands. Absolutely. That's part of trusting the Lord for daily bread. But I'm not going to be shaken and go, oh no, what are we going to do? No, I'm going to come back to what has proceeded from the mouth of God. That's the daily bread that I need right now. Lord, you said you've never the righteous aren't forsaken. We're not begging for bread. Lord, you continue to provide all our needs. You'll continue to do this. Because hear me today, your provision is not tied to your situation. It is always tied back to the source, which is the Father. And you know who the Father is? He is the source of every good and perfect gift. It comes from the Father of lives. So hear me today, your provision is not tied to what you're going through. It is tied to the Father who provides and gives and continues to give and provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. This is what we believe for. This is our heart posture and prayer. It's Lord, daily bread. Lord, provide today for my family, for me. Provide grace for me. Provide mercy for me. Provide strength for me, Lord. Provide wisdom in my business. Provide finances. Lord, provide food for my family. Lord, this is my heart as I go to the Father in prayer. It's not, I deserve this. It's, Lord, provide for me. Continue. Humbly I seek you, Lord. I walk boldly to you today, and I thank you for who you are. You're holy. No one else can do this. Father, provide for me today. This is our heart posture. This is how we should pray. Every time we go to pray, this is where our hearts should be. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today? We lift your hands to the Lord. I want to pray over us before we leave today. Lift your hands if you will, church. Prayer team, if you will go ahead and make yourself available at this time. Father, I thank you for your people. I pray a blessing over their life right now. I thank you, Lord, that you are the source of our provision. Lord, we thank you with a heart of gratitude, full of gratitude. We look even at what we have in our life. We think upon those things just for a moment in your presence as this message has been brought forth. And Father, we see the work of your hand. We see the provision that you've brought into our lives. And God, we're just thankful for that. But Lord, we also know that you are the God of blessing. Lord, that you're leading us even to greater places, glory to glory and faith to faith. You're leading us into the promises that you have for us. But Lord, in the midst of our way to the blessing and the promise that you have for us, let us never miss and honor the moments of your provision in every season. So God, we give you thanks right now. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We give God a hand clap of praise, church. Amen.